You have reached tuned into Home Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you tuned in on today, and we're looking for just another great time on today. And we have a great new series that we're going to be looking at over the course of the next several of our sessions. And I just want to say, just come on in and have a seat, bring your Bible, and just make yourself comfortable, because you are going to be tremendously blessed, and I know it without a shadow of a doubt on today. Today, we're going to be talking over the next several sessions about the beauty of holiness, and we're going to look at a various types of aspect about holiness, Mike. We're going to be looking at what is holiness, the necessity of holiness, holiness of God, and holiness of spirit. And so as we look and progress along, I want you to get your pen and your paper and take you some notes and write some things down, because you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. The first thing I want to just look at is just a scripture here over in 1 Chronicles 16 and 20. Nine, as we look at the beauty of holiness. The Bible says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And we want to look at holiness. And we're not looking at standards or because there is a difference between standard and holiness. While when you're looking at standards, it's the child of God's behavior or dress. But we're talking about these behaviors and standard does not make the person holy. They express our devotion and faith and commitment to God and reflect the holiness placed in our lives when we experience salvation. Hence, when we also refer to the word to them as standards of holiness. Standard must be based upon the teaching of the Bible. Some standards are clearly identified in the scripture as proper norms for the child of God to please God. And standards are preached and taught by even the under-shepherd or the pastor for the member of that particular congregation. They set these standards from the biblical standpoint and principle, applying these principles to the life and the community and culture of that particular church. And it said, where one sees a spiritual danger for which he desired to protect the people under his care and charge. Now, and I think that that's very important, because these standards, and sometimes people fight against those standards or those things that are placed, put in place. But we must recognize, child of God, as we go through this and as a progression along in our lesson, that standards, and even if you see them as man-made standards, they are not there to overthrow you, but they're there to protect you or protect the flock. And so you must recognize that is key for the children of God and people to really understand and get the revelation of standards and things. You may say, well, that's not in the Bible, this is not in the Bible, but that under-shepherd, that pastor, the overseer, is required to protect that flock that they have been given charge over. So peradventure, there may be standards in your community of faith or your church and things, because it's going to be relevant for that flock or the culture of that particular church. And so we must recognize that and understand that is important in the lives of that church, for the livelihood, for the protection thereof. And when we study the government or the polity of God, the government of God, and even the way God has things set up and lined up, is for the protection even of the children of God and people and humanity itself. And so we must recognize that, and I want to lay that foundation up front. as you listen and study on the progression of these things, series, so that you can understand when you take this lesson back and maybe perhaps look at your church, your community of faith, or the kingdom which God has established up under the under-shepherd that you attend, it must be recognized that it is there, that standard or that way or those particular rules or values for that church is there for the protection of the flock or the community of believer in which they have been called to oversee. So please recognize that, and I pray that that gave you a revelation of why some of the things or you do certain things the way they do. We must recognize that Richard M. Davis stated that holiness is born of God in our hearts when we receive the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit within us causes us to desire to reflect God's holiness in us. Holiness is more than how a person dresses or adorns themselves, for it is an issue of the heart, the mind, and the spirit. It is a condition of the inner self that is then reflected externally. And a person does not clean up outside, and on the inside, it is still all messed up, if I may say, or jacked up, or have not gotten right and gotten rid of, and things. But it's very the opposite. It's when the inward self is cleansed and filled with the holiness of God, it's going to exhibit on the outside, and it's going to exude the glory of God in and through our lives on the outside. And so we must recognize that that is true, true holiness and things. And we're going to talk about the beauty of holiness in the progression of these lessons today and this week and over the next several lessons that I will be teaching. And so today we want to look at what is holiness. And we want to examine this. The Bible admonishes children of God to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. And so God is calling us as individuals to examine ourselves, amen, to see whether we're even in the faith. And so as we progress along, we're going to keep reiterating the fact that the culture of each individual congregation or community of faith may be different, but we must recognize that difference is for a purpose. What God has given to that pastor or that shepherdess or that under-shepherd or that apostle or overseer for that particular flock is because of the community and the culture and what God is using them to protect the flock from. Amen. So that's key for us to understand, because a lot of times we may say it's not in the Bible. We don't see it written into the Bible. But remember, it's for your protection too as well. Amen. Because they have to oversee and protect the flock and things in which they have been assigned over. So let's take a look here. And we're going to look at several scriptures on today. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through 29, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 11, 1 Peter 3, and verse 3 through 5. And we're going to take a look at that, and so that we can lay our foundation on today. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now read that in your hearing. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new or become new. That's what the word of the Lord says. And Matthew 23, verses 25 through 29 say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye make clean the outward side of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse thou first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be cleaned also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto the white sepulchres, which indeed appeared beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and all are unclean. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous. Now let's take a look here. And let's take a look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, immunators, or abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such as some of you. But ye are now washed, and but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now let's take another look. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 5. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the planting the hair, and of the wearing of gold, and of the putting on the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which it is not corruptible, even the adornment, ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Now, let's take a look at that real quick, and we're going to get into the lesson, too, as well. We must recognize it's not saying don't braid your hair or don't look good, because I think that we as women of the Lord, we should look good. We should look nice. We should take care of ourselves. But what it's saying is that don't put your emphasis and give a whole lot of time unto that. And don't overdo it when you are doing these things. Modesty is always the best thing. Living in that modesty of a place and things. But what it's talking about is that it's the heart that we must deal with. And once we deal with our inward man of our heart and things, then God is able tremendously to bless us. And that's where holiness begins, there in the heart of a man or a woman. Amen? So let's take a look at, it said, just one letter of an alphabet makes all the alphabets different as now. And said recently, a converted man, a young woman, to an unsaved friend who could not understand the great change that had come over her. You love the world, she said, and I love the word. And so some people are going to love the world, and then some people are going to love the word of God. And that is so powerful, and that came from the word of life. Now let's look here. Let's look at the new life. It says the new life is a life in Christ through the new birth, being born again, experience the one that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus over in chapter 3, verses number 7. A person become a new creature or a new creation in Christ. And as we read the scripture, old things, speaking of the old life of sin are passed away and all things become new. When Jesus came into our life, he demanded a change in us. The Holy Ghost called us for separation from the old way that we once indulged in while living in sin. Now, John 16 and 8 states, and when he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, let's take a look here. It said, when the new life of Christ come into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He separates us from sin. The Spirit of God, through His Word, set boundaries and limitations to guide us and direct us. Now, if we cross these lines of distinction, the Holy Spirit will correct us by the Word of God. Now, popular ideas today suggest that we can do whatever we wish to do, and still God's mercy will cover us. By this thinking, we are saved in our own sin instead of being saved from our sin. And we must recognize God has always been merciful and gracious and forgiving towards the sinner, but He never tolerates His people to continue to live in sin without pronouncing judgment upon them. And God calls, has always been, come out and be ye separated. And we know, the Bible let us know, come out from among them and be thou separated. And I will receive you unto myself. And we must recognize that God does not want a child of God to live in sin. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 18, you can read more about that. There must be a difference between the child of God and the sinner, between the world and the church. God is unchanging, and He still desires His church to be holy, to be separated people, of people who want to please Him by living a separate life unto Him. Now, this is not to say that we do not live in the world, but to be separated and things from the things that is an offense to God and that God does not like. But His demand are not merely words, for He has transformed our lives by His Spirit and placed a desire in our hearts to please Him. Holiness is God's mark upon the lives of His people. Holiness of character and conduct is one language that can be understood the world all over. It is an unmistakable language of a godly life. So holiness is a godly life. We must recognize that God draws a line of distinction between right and wrong, holiness and sin, the child of God and the sinner, the church and the world. So God has a line that is separating those two, the distinction, and we must recognize that and have a greater understanding. We cannot serve the Lord and still love the things in the world. The Christian or the child of God cannot indulge in ungodly activity of an unbeliever. There is a pronounced difference in the lifestyles between the believer and the unbeliever. It is upon these conditions that God receives us. His desire for us is that we would live so that our lives do not have sin or spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you'll look over there in Ephesians 5 and 27. Now, when you look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, it said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, that's what the word of the Lord is talking about when we're talking about holiness. Someone said that holiness was the least of God's standards, and holiness is at once a gift of God into our heart and lifestyle that reflects that gift. The gift is perfect, but we have the taste of perfection and the gift of holiness both in our attitude or spirit and our way of living, which is the flesh. We must recognize that it is our attitude about holiness and the way we live this thing out is key and important unto the child of God. Although we are not saved by our own holy lifestyle, we do know that we will not see Him if we fall short of His holiness or in holiness. And you can see that over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Paul encouraged us to perfect holiness in our lives as we live for God. Now, we must recognize today is not a day to be less than holy or to relax our lifestyle of holiness. The enemy enjoy seeing God's people become less committed and for them to become lack in their dedication. The Apostle Paul emphasizes the goal towards the perfection of holiness, indicating that we must put forth an effort to become like God in character as well as in our behavior. A child of God ought to get along or get away from the old lifestyle of sin as possible as they can and to be renewed daily in the spiritual walk with God. And I want to stop right there and emphasize on that, because a lot of times we just think just one time, but we must renew ourselves daily, daily being renewed in God, in the Word of God. It's just like that relationship, daily afresh. And if you don't put nothing in a relationship, it becomes stagnated or distance can be put between yourself. So it is with God. Each day you get up, you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your life and heart before the Lord God Almighty and things as you engage in that relationship with God. God never asked of us something that is impossible. When we received the Holy Spirit, He empowered us to live free from sin. The new life we live is transformed life in which Jesus Christ is in it himself. He is the power of God in us to assist us in our effort to overcome the flesh, overcome sin, and to overcome the devil. So you must recognize those are three elements that you are dealing with. And a lot of time we put all of our focus in on the devil and things, but sometimes it's the flesh. Sometimes it's sin and things. And yes, the devil plays a lot in a part in that too. But there's two other entities that we sometimes don't even recognize that we are warring against. Sin, you're warring against sin, and you're warring against your own fleshly desires or the flesh. So we must recognize and be more cognitive and conscious of those three things that really are warring against us in our own life. Amen. God has placed in our heart a new nature, His holy nature, and we now desire the things of God rather than the things of sins of the flesh. Or the old desire has passed away, and the Lord, by His Spirit, has placed new desires, new affections in our heart. Now, I think that that is just so a wonderful thing to know, that God placed new desires and new things down in our hearts and in our minds and our soul. Those that used to smoke, I used to smoke before I gave my life to the Lord. And God took that desire. I cried out to God and asked God to wash and to cleanse me and to deliver me from that and things, because I wanted to be holy and righteous before God. And when I began to cry out unto God, God just took that desire out of my life, because I wanted to please God. I wanted to walk up right before God and be holy before God. And God instantaneously took that thing out of my life and put new desires, desire for His Word, desire to lift my hand. Where I used to hold a cigarette, now I can take these hands and lift them in the sanctuary and give praise and glory unto God. I can put my hands upon His instruments and praise Him in His house. I can use my hand to write glorious things unto the Lord. That same hand, what the enemy wanted to use to overthrow, God using it now for His glory. Now His healing virtue is flowing through that hand. Now His glorious hand, this same hand is laying upon the sick, and the sick is getting well. Those that are bound with demonic forces are being delivered with that same hand. Laudable Shekan. God is exuding miracles and wonder through that same hand that used to hold that cigarette. And that's what I'm talking about. The beauty of holiness and of deliverance of what God is doing in and through the lives of his people. Amen. Now let's take another look. The New International Version, it translates the 2 Corinthians 7:1. This way it says, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purge ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And that you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians 1:7. But that came from the New International Version of the Bible. And said, because God is holy, the child of God should want to be holy as well. Holy in their body, which is the temple of God, and holy in their spirit. Both have their action and attitude should reflect the holiness of God in an unholy world. Can you shout hallelujah? Amen. We must recognize that as we live this life, we're living the life of holiness in action as well as in attitude. And many times we can be heavy on the action part or the outward part, but it's the attitude part, too, that we need to be bathed in the holiness and the righteousness of God. Amen. Let's look at the next place. It said holiness involves change. It is an inward change. And let's take a fine look at that inward change. Amen. And then we're going to look at the outward change. It says here over in Matthew 23, verses number 25 through 28, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye make clean the outward cup, outside of a cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto yourself, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye are like unto the white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appeared unrighteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And we'll find that over in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28. Now let's see, the Pharisees, they were guilty of hypocrisy. They worked diligently to look holy on the outward, but they were not holy in their hearts or when they were not in public. And so let's look at that. And that's key, because their hearts was not holy on the inward. And when they were outside of the public eye, they were not holy. And see, this is the point where God is trying to get to the children of God, that holiness take place within the heart, in the attitude. And when you are outside of the public sector, when nobody else can see you, are you still living holy and righteous before God when you're behind your closed door? Amen. And things. They dressed in a certain way, talking about the Pharisees, so that others would know that they were believers in God. They made sure that they prayed according to their custom so that they would appear to be religious. Their appearance and act, however, were only an external fleshly, fakey, only a show and not reality. It was not difficult for Jesus and the others to see through their facade of religious exercise. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He likened them to be a tomb that was beautiful and clean on the outside, yet inside their heart there was a corrupt and evil. They were full of self-righteousness and evil thoughts. They were not only holy, they only wanted to impress people that would receive the praises of men. When they failed to realize that the outward show is of no profit when there is no inward experience with God, holiness involves a change of life. And not only a change of life, but it starts with a change of heart. a change of mind and a change of spirit. Amen. And then it flows on the outside. It said it is impossible for a person to be holy apart from God and a heart changed by the Holy Ghost. Someone may dress outwardly in such a way as to appear holy and yet be without the true spirit of holiness. Although he changed his outward appearance, he is the same corrupt, sinful person as they were before. Holiness is more than just the way we appear before others. It is a transformed nature that is reflected in the way we talk, our attitude towards others, our walk with God, and our daily living and our conduct. Now, I want you to grab a hold of that, and I want you to write that down, and I want to reiterate that, is that that transformation of the nature of an individual is going to reflect the way they talk, their attitude towards others, our walk with God, and our daily living and our conduct. And I tell you, that's a powerful thing right there in itself. To look all right to others is not sufficient, for we must also be forgiven of our sin and change in our heart if we are to be holy people. Only a changed heart and a true born-again experience from God will bring holiness to our heart and conduct, and that is so key. It is the Spirit of God in us that causes us to love God, His Word, our neighbor, ourselves, and to practice the golden rule. Only through receiving and living by the power of the Holy Spirit can we know the true spirit of holiness. Only when we are cleansed on the inside by God's Spirit will our thoughts be godly, will our lives be holy before God. And God got to do, he must do the cleansing on the inside. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, we control both the desire and conduct of the flesh. It is our new life in Christ. We do not live a life outside or after sinful things that once dominated our lives. New desires generated by the Holy Spirit governs our lives. And I want to say that again, and child of God, because we must grab a hold of that. It's the new desires that are generated by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit which governs our lives. And the more we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, the more we become like God. And so holiness, therefore, it starts with an experience in our hearts. We cannot attain it in our own or by the merits of by our own disciplines, but it is the gift of God where it starts within the heart of an individual, amen. But when God places new hearts inside a believer, he becomes a holy child or a holy vessel of God. Now, let's take another look here at the outward side. Now, we looked at the inward. Now, let's contrast and look what's going to take place on the outward, amen, amen. Galatians 5:19-21 state, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so let's take a look at that. God is holy in his character and in all his work. There is not anything about God that is not holy. Holiness is the very essence of God's character. It is impossible for him to be anything other than holy. Moreover, it is impossible for us to identify with a holy God without first being introduced to him through the new birth. It is the sinful nature of mankind that causes a person to follow after his fleshly lust. The work of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, and that's wantonness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, contentions, wrath, strife, sedition, which is rebellion, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. That's what Galatians talk about. These are things that the carnal nature of humanity, they seek after, that carnal state and things, or the natural man seek after and things. And the carnal man can only be carnal after he's given his life unto the Lord our God. Amen. And it said, for the child of God to demonstrate that he has truly been born of God, that he is partaker of God's divine nature, the child of God must put away from themselves fleshly lust. The salvation experience changes their desires. It will determine how they occupy his time. When the heart is changed by the Spirit of God, the lust of the flesh can no longer, now get this, child of God, dominate a person's life. Amen. When a person's been changed by the power of God through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the lust of the flesh, get this, can no longer dominate a person's life. And so once you recognize and you see a person allowing that fleshly thing dominate them, then they are not following after the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to dominate their life. Amen. And that's the resounding difference to be able to make that distinction. If a child of God decides not to turn away from sin after an under determined time of grace and mercy, the Holy Spirit will not continue to abide in their lives. And we must recognize that, that if you don't desire to submit to God and allow God to lead and guide you into all truth, then guess what? The Holy Spirit is not going to continue to abide in an unclean vessel. It will not continue to abide there. The scripture calls our body the temple of the Holy Ghost. You'll see that over in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, and we talked about that earlier. Our body must therefore be kept spiritually clean for the presence, the holy presence of God. If God is going to abide within us, you cannot be allowing anything to be coming out of your mouth and speaking all manner of evil and call yourself to be a child of God. The Spirit of God is not going to dwell in an unclean vessel, in an unclean place, child of God. And so we must recognize that a child of God must continue to indulge themselves in the things of God and not defile the temple of God, which is your life, amen, which is your body. You cannot defile the temple of God. God demands that the interchange made by the Spirit result, here it is, in the outward change of behavior, attitude, and spirit. Now let's take a look here. The work of the flesh are the work of unrighteousness. The scripture tells us that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we cannot continue to obey the lust of the flesh and still be a holy vessel unto God. Now, the same spirit that changed our heart and cleansed it from sin, it gives us power to overcome fleshly desires. But we must choose to live holy vessels unto God. Now let's look at those dynamics right there, because the God has given us the power, and he also changed our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But it is up to us to make the choice to be a holy vessel unto God. We can go on and pick up our old lifestyle and do the same thing that we did before we gave our life to God. And the power of God may still be in us for just a moment, because his mercy and his grace is striving to get our attention to make the choice to live holy and righteous. But if we continue on in that sinful way, the Spirit of God will not abide in that vessel. It will move away and things. And slowly, he said, quench not the Spirit of God. And things. It will slowly move away. But it's our choice to make the right choices, to live holy, to live upright before God, to do what he tells us to do. And even when we put something on and we feel convicted about it, it's our choice to say, I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord, God making, putting it in my heart not to do that and things. It becomes not on God at that point, but it becomes on me at that time to make that choice. And God will give me the power, or give the individual the power over their flesh, over their desire to do it. And to make the choice to live that righteous, or make that right choice. So that's key for us children of God to recognize that. A miracle occurs each time God takes a person from sin and transforms them by the power of God into a saint of God. We who were once overtaken by the filthiness of sin of the flesh are now a holy people unto the Lord. After mentioning all the vile sins of the flesh to the Corinthians, Paul stated this. He said, and such were some of you. Yes, many of them, as well as many of us, were taken and enslaved by the manner of the vices that was listed in Corinthians, the works of the flesh. Everyone has sinned and needed to be changed in order to be saved. And we must say, thanks be unto God, who has washed away our sin on the inside and transformed the way that we are to live in this world today. No longer do we indulge in the sin that once held us captive, for Jesus has set us free. We welcome the change that has occurred in our lives, for it was not forced upon us. The change that is in us from a sinner to saint gave us a great desire to become partakers of God's holiness. Come on and shout hallelujah. Glory be unto God. We must recognize, child of God, that this outward change in a person's life is when he is saved from sin, involves the ways that a person will live, and even the way a person will dress. The clothing that a person may wear is often speak louder than their words. A child of God should be modest and things, even in their apparel, and not to even to expose their bodies and things, or body parts and things. We must be holy. The Spirit is holy. God is never pleased when a child of God is dressing in an immoral manner. Amen. We must carry ourselves in a manner that is going to bring glory and honor unto God. And you can just stop and ask myself, or ask yourself, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to bring glory and honor unto God? Or is this going to bring glory and honor to my flesh? And things. And so you can ask yourself those questions as you go through this. And no, I'm not a clothesline preacher and things, but I am one of holiness and righteousness unto the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. Because I've seen people can wear clothes and things, but their attitude can be so ungodly toward God's people, or toward things of God, things of God. And so we must recognize that the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us into all truth. Amen. We must recognize that when we live this way, it's going to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. Even our conversation, what will come out of our mouth, and that conversation will bring glory or honor unto God. If I'm still speaking like the world, and I'm still living out of that fleshly realm and things, then I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to have preeminence, even in my conversation, even in the manner in which I come and go, move and live and have our being, amen, even in our lives. Peter did not stop with just the way of holiness of dressing in things, but he was concerned about the attitude. And I, like I stated earlier, Pastor Arn, do believe in being holy and being modest before the Lord our God. But one of the things that I think is so much even greater and things is the attitude. And that's what I want to look at for just a few minutes here and things. And what Paul said over in 1 Peter 3:1, according to the New International Version, he stated this, when they see the purity and the reverence of your life, your beauty should not come from the outward adorning. It should be of that inward self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Amen. What a priceless attitude it is when God is glorified in our spirit by the demonstration of holiness. When our spirit becomes one with the Holy Spirit, our only desire is to please him. Now, I love that, child of God, and I want to reemphasize that because I believe that when that inward man, the heart, the mind, and the soul becomes inundated and engaged into the holiness of God, then guess what? Everything else is going to fall in line. And I believe that that's where it starts, on the inward, and then it's going to spill on the outward man. We must recognize that it's the attitude of one wanting to glorify God and that our spirit is demonstrating a life of one in which where it brings glory and honor unto God. And that is so key, child of God, and it starts on the inward. When our spirit becomes one with God's spirit, our only desire will be to please him. And I believe that right there is so key for our holiness unto God. When I become one with God, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. I want to allow the Spirit of God to be glorified through my spirit, heart, mind, and soul. That is so key. Now let's look here at another point of holiness involves consecration. Paul, he encouraged the believers to present their body as a living sacrifice to God in a holy manner. This is our reasonable service. Jesus Christ has done so much for us that we should not be too much. It shouldn't be too much for us to live a godly life in this present world. Holiness demands consecration on the part of the believer who is to declare that his life is dedicated to God. A child of God is to live in holy fashion that will please God and not themselves. All that we do should be done to bring glory and honor unto God. We must allow our minds to be transformed so that we can think as Christ thinks. And that is key when we allow our mind. If you go over to the book of Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 and think, it will let us know and think. Only then will we be able to prove to the world that which Christ is living within us and that his holiness is transforming power that is in our lives. And when we allow his spirit to transform us by his holiness, then and only then we will be able to live according to the perfect will of God. Now, the temple of God must be holy. Since our bodies are the temple of God, since he redeemed us by his blood, and since we are not our own and our lives belong to him, we are to live in holiness so that we may glorify him in all of our ways. We are not our own. We have been purchased by his precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must live in a manner that will bring him glory and honor. Can you shout hallelujah? Glory be unto God. We must recognize that the child of God's values, his body is as priceless a monument, because it is the witness to all unbelievers of the holiness of God in an unholy world. Moreover, we pray that our life of holiness that we live will cause unbelievers to desire to forsake an ungodly lifestyle and to seek to live God for God in the beauty of his holiness. And so, child of God, I want you to know that it's our heart, it's in our mind, is when we live in that transforming power of God, that which has transformed our lives to live holy and to live righteous and upright before God. Never did divine holiness appear more beautiful than at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. In his sacrificing of himself, he displayed once and for all his hatred for sin and his love for the sinner. Sin separates mankind from God, but Jesus' death made it possible for a person to be reunited or united again with God in the beauty of holiness. The child of God must remember that God is holy and that he is therefore the man that we separate ourselves and dedicate our life unto him and live a holy life before him. We should endeavor to serve him in the beauty of holiness by separating ourselves from all ungodly deeds. Amen. And allow God to change our heart, that our life we reflect his beautiness in this world. And so, child of God, God is wanting to exude his power in and through his children, his child's life, through and by the way of holiness. Remember, as Pastor Arms stated earlier, holiness is about a way of life in our action as well as our attitude. We talked about the Pharisees earlier and how the Pharisee was just concerned about the outward. And Pastor Arm is not talking just outwardly, but I'm talking about the attitudes. Many times, sometimes in the house of God, we can come across many attitudes in the kingdom of God that are not godly attitudes, not attitudes of holiness and righteousness before God. And God is talking and crying out for the attitude of the people of God to demonstrate holiness as well. In our heart, holiness. In our mind, holiness. In our spirit, holiness, the holiness of God, and that will exude on our outward man and our outward appearance. Amen. Because God has drawn a line of distinction between right and wrong, holiness and sin, the child of God and the sinner, the church and the world. There is a distinction that have been made between those two. And now the world is trying to infill the church with their worldly ways. But we as children of God must recognize that God has put a standard, a distinction between holiness and righteousness. And God is calling us to come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord our God. As I said, holiness is born of God in our hearts when we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us is going to cause us to desire to reflect God's holiness in our lives. And holiness is more than how a person dresses or adorns themselves. It is the condition of your heart, on your mind, and your spirit. And that condition of your inward man is definitely going to reflect of your outward appearance and your lifestyle. Amen. Can we shout hallelujah? The Bible said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16 and 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And there is a beauty. You can see it exuding through the life of a child of God who has come to make their spirit one with God. You can see it. It goes far beyond the clothes. It goes far beyond the outward appearance. But you can see that spirit emanating out and exuding out of their life. And God has literally embodied the beauties of holiness in their life because they wanted to be holy unto the Lord in their attitude, in their mind, in their spirit, and in their heart. And so, child of God, I want you to know that that holiness is coming from the inward man, again, the heart. We recognize there's a scripture that says the heart is desperately wicked and things, but when the Spirit of God comes in and cleanses that heart and washes that heart and purifies it, guess what? You are able to see it. You are able to hear it in all manner of conversation. You will hear it exuding out of their lives. And I want to just to leave with you another thing that I had spoken earlier and things in my closing on what is holiness. God has placed in our heart a new nature, his holy nature. And now we must desire the things of God more than the things of this world. The New International Version states over in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, it says, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That is what I'm talking about on today. It is so important, child of God, for us to purify ourselves and to also to not allow ourselves to be contaminated, our bodies and our spirit, child of God. But God wants us to be holy even as he is holy and recognize that he is our righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. That's what the word of the Lord said. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in with your people and your children on today. Father, let us purify our hearts and mind and not contaminate our bodies or spirit, but that we will be holy even as you are holy. Let us recognize, Lord, when people or things come to us to contaminate both our body and our spirit, let us recognize it, oh God, that we may be holy even as you are holy and walk up right before thee, O Lord, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In my closing, as I stated and said, if you don't have it, God got it, And we are just, he is just one prayer away. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Seek, and you shall find. If you don't have it, go back and ask God again. Keep on seeking God, and keep on knocking. The door shall be open unto you. May God bless you is my prayer.